We're going to talk about something this morning that preachers sometimes shy away from, and it's the main reason that we are here. I'm going to talk about sin today. And you may think, well, Farron, you talk about sin all the time, and I do, but that's the name of my sermon today, is simply sin, or in lieu of it, mask of sin. You know, sin is deceptive. It will give you a false impression of what you want or what you think you want. It appears to be one thing, when in reality, it is something else. As I said earlier, it may like you're wearing a mask, a false face, if you will. And sin will use these masks, and Satan in charge, of course, will use these masks to mislead us. He will use these masks to deceive us. Now, when I talk about masks, we all now know exactly what I'm talking about. Because we all came in here this morning wearing masks. Some of you are still wearing them sitting in your seat. We have come to understand masks very well. With the COVID-19 virus, we have been forced to wear masks when we come in contact with other people. And we all came here because we're going to come in contact with other people. But through our use of these masks, and even though their purpose is good right now, they can sometimes be a great nuisance to us, can't they? They impair our ability to recognize people, because I have walked by people and really not even know who they are, because from here down I can't see anything and I don't recognize them. They fog our glasses where we have trouble seeing. They impair our breathing because it's always hot when you put your mask on. So we understand that concept, don't we? The concept of the mask. But what I want to do today is I want to take the thought of the mask and I want to give it a spiritual application. I want us to talk about the masks of sin and what they are capable of doing to us. What are these masks? How do they fill us with lies and deception? How does sin hide and disguise itself behind a mask and entrap us? We want to look at some different masks of sin this morning. First of all, I want to suggest to you that there is a mask of a servant. Now, what I mean by that is something that Jesus told the crowd of people in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And this is right before he tells the parable of the rich fool. He says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Now, what the message is here is this. In reality, sin is really the master. But it will try to make you think that you are the master and it is your slave. Sin will try to make you think that you are in control. He will give you the idea that he is serving you. And you know, we all like to be served. You know, one of the best things about going into a restaurant, they will bring you your food. They will keep your glass filled with tea or whatever it is you're drinking. They will ask you if you want anything else. They will give you options as to what you can do. And you really enjoy that, don't you? You enjoy being in control and people are waiting on you. Some of you may be able to go back to the days when you take your car to the service station to get gas. And three or four men come running out, and one of them puts in the gas, the other one washes the windshield, the other one checks the oil in the engine, the other one checks the air in the tires, and they see to it that your car is okay. That goes back a few years, don't it? But we like that. People are serving us. Sin will try to make you think that it is your servant. But in reality, he will make you the servant. It will make you the slave. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 and 48, we find the Lord here basically fed up with the children of Israel because they are disobeying him time and time again. And so he says in verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. That is exactly what sin will do to you. Even though you think that it serves you, even though you think that you are in control, sin will absolutely destroy you. It will make you think that you're getting your way. It will make you think that you are in control, and nothing could be further from the truth. Sin is there to ensnare you. It is there to trap you, to grab you tightly within its grasp. I think Solomon put it well. Proverbs chapter 5, 21 and 22. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his own sin. That's what can happen, my friend, if we put on this mask and let sin take over our lives. Next, we look at the mask of beauty. Now, who in here does not like beautiful things? You know, even the roughest, toughest, orneriest old man on the earth enjoys looking at a flower or seeing something pretty. Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, we read, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you shall freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now let's jump down to the next chapter. Chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Here's the mask. God has said, do not do this. If you do, you will die. Satan comes along and presents to this young couple sin. It's good for food, pretty to look at. It can make you wise. In fact, he said it can make you like God. In reality, though, my friends, there's nothing pretty about sin. It's ugly. This tree in the Garden of Eden was a delight to the eyes of Adam and Eve. But they fell prey to this temptation, which is something that appeared to be beautiful. It was a mask. It was supposed to be pretty, and it turned out ugly. And it actually brought them death. Sin will give you this appearance, but it is an ugly thing. Don't trust it. Jesus warns us, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, beginning. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And sin, my friends, will bring you death instead of treasure. It's just as James says in James chapter 1 and verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Oh, but it looks so pretty. It looks so sweet. Just like that wonderful, wonderful fruit. But beware of the reality of this mask. And then we have the mask of benefit. Well, let's go back to Genesis 3 once again. Eve looked up into that tree and she saw that fruit and she saw a way for her to become wise like God. But in reality, it robbed her of her peace with God. You know, so many people think that they reap a great benefit or a great reward in committing a sin. And they feel like they're getting away with something. And especially if they never get caught, boy, have they succeeded. But you know, when I think about that, I can't help but think about a man in Joshua chapter 7. A man by the name of Achan. The Israelites were attacking Jericho. The Lord had told the Israelites, do not take of the spoils of Jericho. Achan took of the spoils of Jericho. In fact, he took so much that he was absolutely filthy rich. Even by today's standards, he would be filthy rich. But look what happened to him. It cost him his life. It cost him the lives of his family. In the end, my friend, there is no benefit to sin. It's a mask. It'll make you think that you want these things. It'll make you think you have to have these things. It will make you take action to get these things. And then when you get them, the benefit is temporary. The actual reward is no reward at all. It's a penalty. The penalty of death. And then we have the mask of sinful pleasure. You know, I guess it's safe to say that we live in a world that is driven by sinful pleasure. I fear that it's a lot like the world that God saw in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. It says that then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth, and that every thought, intent, and thought of his heart was only evil continually. I think about that world, then I think about our world. I think about places that the Bible refers to, such as Sodom and Gomorrah. And I have said many times, possibly here from this pulpit, if America is not to the level of Sodom and Gomorrah, I would hate to think what Sodom and Gomorrah was really like. Because I think we are at that level. I think about the prodigal son. How he goes into the far country and he wastes everything that his father has given him on riotous living, and he lives it up and he has a great time, and he's wearing all of these masks. And then he runs out of money, and when he runs out of money, the good time is over. His benefit is gone. And he's starving to death in a pig pen. And that's what the sins of pleasure will do to you. And then I think about Moses. And I remember what the Hebrew writer said about him in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Now, we're talking about a man here who, even though he was born as a Hebrew child, he was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was raised as royalty. He had already tasted the goodness of wealth. I mean, he was in a position to snap his finger and get what he wants and look for something and have it. And he said, all of these things is not worth anything to me. I'm going to choose God. I'm going to choose my people, God's people. He did not look at this mask. And he definitely did not put it on. Yeah, he saw the pleasure of sin. But it wasn't as important to him as devotion to God. You know, when we look at worldly things, we need to understand that many times what looks to be pleasurable in reality is just filled with corruption. Pat and I was watching a movie last night. And it got to a part in this movie that this young man was driving or riding down the street in a limousine, him and another man, and there were three or four girls in there with them, and they were drinking it up and laughing it up. And I'm thinking to myself, and they call this fun? And the next morning, it showed that man when he was trying to get out of bed and he couldn't walk, after he banged his head against the wall a couple of times and fell down a couple of times. And I'm thinking, this is fun? This is what the world calls having a good time? No. I mean, I have fallen down before and I bumped my head against the wall before. And let me tell you, friends, there's nothing fun about that. And we need to ask ourselves, is this what we really want in life? I think it's interesting to note that when the COVID-19 virus began to subside a little bit and things little by little started opening up, many of the states, including our wonderful state here in Georgia, the first thing they opened up was the bars and the clubs. Anybody pick up on that? It's time to play. It's time to have a good time. It's time to put on that mask of pleasure. But look at the results. How many people do you know that have actually been lifted up or gained a benefit from any of these things? I don't know anyone. Oh, I know people who will pop off and what a good time they had and how they lived it up. But they can't get away from that suffering that comes at the end. Then we have the mask of innocence. Let me share with you one thing that sin actually forces us to do in life. Sin actually forces us to become accountable for ourselves. It actually forces us to be unable to point our finger and say it's somebody else's fault. It makes us realize that we have done this to ourselves. You know, I wish there was some way that we could get everyone to come to terms with something that Peter said in Galatians chapter 6, or rather Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 7. He said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." You know, when I was a child, I thought it was really funny that I could stick my hand in the cookie jar and I could get me a cookie and Mom and Daddy not know about it. I had accomplished something big, to the point that I would go back and I would get me another cookie. And oh, I was really proud of myself when I get that second cookie. But you know, one day I put my hand in the cookie jar, and guess what happened? My hand was smacked rather severely. You see, as the cookies began to disappear, my parents knew they hadn't eaten them cookies, and I was the only other one in the house. My friend, getting cookies is fun. Getting caught with them is not. And mankind will run around this world and they will grab cookies. And they'll grab this to have a good time and they'll do this to enjoy life. And sooner or later, it's coming. We have to understand that. You're not going to get away with it. Oh, you may whip for a while. But it's coming. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. It always comes back around. Without fail. And we need to know that. And I'm not talking about kids and cookies anymore. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about you and me. So many people say, well, you only live life once. Have a good time. Do what you like. Whatever you please. You're in control. You shouldn't have anyone telling you what to do. In actuality, these seeds that you're sowing that look so innocent, look so harmless, they're devastating. And we need to know that. Sin will only give you temporary pleasure, but it will give you permanent corruption. Paul said, we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. Because that's what sin does. And we don't have to listen to it. We don't have to go along with it. We do not have to put on that mask. Sin can seem so innocent, but yet it is so deadly. These are but just a few of the masks that sin would use against you. I could go on and on and on. But we need to understand, sin, even though it seems to serve you, intends to make a slave out of you. It will appear to be absolutely beautiful, but it is filled with ugliness. It will promise to give you great benefits and do wonderful things for you. But in truth, you really have nothing to gain. And the mask of pleasure, oh, it will come and go. But when it leaves, it will take your soul with it. So sweet, so innocent, but yet so deadly. My friends, don't fall for these masks of sin. Rather, give your life to God. God has made wonderful promises. Promises that He can keep. Promises that will benefit you. Promises that will last you for eternity if you will only accept them. So today, my friend, if you are not a Christian, become one today by obeying the gospel of Christ and receive the benefits and the reward that comes from God. And He will not mask it with lies. And if you are a child of God and you have been fooled by these sinful masks, and at one time or the other we all have, repent of these things. Get out of that condition. Take off that mask and give your life back to the Lord. He has promised to forgive and make you a part of Him once again. Stay away from the mask of sin. They are devastating. They are deadly. And give your life to God. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, please come while we stand and sing.